Cancer Research UK is assembling crack teams of scientists drawn from the UK and around the world to tackle some of the most challenging problems in cancer science. To find out more about the background to the initiative, I spoke to Simon Yulton from Cancer Research Technology, the charity's wholly owned technology transfer company.
It was about 3 years ago the first ideas came about from a management team session, and I was appointed to someone to look into one of these early ideas, and it escalated from there. So my role has been very much to coordinate a team initially of people to see if we could project this idea and from there on in choose the science and the business model that we've now elected to use, which is to bind five individual researchers from different institutes initially around the UK, each tasked with a particular problem that we pose them, and then bind them together in the form of a limited company for a 2-year grant.
But how is this helping to bridge the gap between academic researchers and pharmaceutical companies?
I think it's very important for Cancer Research UK, with its translational message and the need to get drugs, diagnostics, new medicines out there for cancer patients. But it's also very imperative in the climate that we're working in within academic research, where the trend is very much that pharmaceutical industries and biotechnology companies are moving internally to much later stage developments with phase one clinical trials and thereafter. And there's a gap in the market from academia, whereas academia normally isn't able to take things very far. So we've done a number of developments, including having the CRT development lab, but this is something new again, where I'm addressing what are pre-competitive areas of science, but nonetheless are very interesting with translational potential benefits, and accelerating this by finding pharmaceutical partners to collaborate with us earlier in such developments.
So far, the charity have identified three key areas of science in which to set up these consortia.
The first three that we're going ahead with was obviously this one, which was originally a programme to get better in vitro, that's cellular models, to use in drug discovery. And then very quickly, we exemplified that with concentrating on melanoma and senescence in particular, senescence being body's natural way of avoiding cancerous growths. The second subject that we chose is cancer stem cells, and I'm glad to say that I've already got a team together of five scientists that we hope to gel and take further next year and fund a program in cancer stem cells. Cancer stem cells generally are proving a very hotbed of science, but as yet, no companies and relatively few groups worldwide are actually addressing cancer stem cells. And we think that if you actually develop drugs that specifically hit this class of stem cell, they potentially will be more selective than the current drugs in the market. Finally, and this is a way off, but the histone code is already released, a new genera of drugs called HDAC inhibitors. But we believe there are, in this area, there are a whole host of other targets that we can attack as well. So that will be the final programme.
The first group, looking at the issue of cell senescence, is led by Professor Nicole Keith from the Beetson Institute for Cancer Research in Glasgow. I asked him to explain more about this phenomenon and how it's linked to cancer.
We've known about cell senescence for a number of years, and this is something that in normal cells gives a limit to the number of times a cell divides. So it's the brakes on cell growth, and that's a very good thing to have in normal cells. And this point at which cells stop growing is called cell senescence. And there are lots of ways this can happen. One is when the cells get too old, for example, and they stop growing. Now, one of the major hallmarks of cancer is that they actually bypass this senescence barrier. So senescence is a very, very powerful tumour suppression mechanism, a natural one. It stops you getting cancer. So in fact, when cancers break through this barrier, it's bad news for the cells. So cell senescence is this block which is overcome during the cancer process and the cells become immortal.
Many scientists collaborate on projects, but the key difference here is that the groups are aiming to develop potential drugs that can be licensed to pharmaceutical companies. Nick Adams is from Antisoma, a company that grew out of Cancer Research UK-funded work. I asked him what pharma companies will find attractive about this initiative.
You know, if it was Antisoma and we were to take part, you know, having access to projects that maybe we, you know, ordinarily not been involved in or have an interest in, but only have a piece of the pie, or as it were, of the picture, and other people have other pieces of the picture which we can add to, you know, coming forward with a project.
But what's so new about this way of working? I asked Keith Blundy, Chief Executive of Cancer Research Technology, to explain.
Well, the idea is here that rather than allowing research teams to evolve organically by their own impetus, we've picked specialist crack teams who have particular functional capabilities who we think, by our own peer review and assessment at Cancer Research Technology, working on behalf of CRUK, will form a great new team to solve these problems. And we've brought them together with CRUK funding into a new programme.
It's important to stress that although Cancer Research UK works with the pharmaceutical industry, we are an independent charity. I asked Simon Yalton to allay any fears that our supporters' money might be going into the pockets of so-called big pharma.
None of this Cancer Research UK funding goes directly to the pharmaceutical industry, so we're not funding the pharmaceutical industry at all. We couldn't actually get any of our successful programmes, and programmes that the public have been very pleased that they have contributed to at the early stages, because they've become drugs and they've become new diagnostics for cancer patients and now new biomarkers and predictive markers for cancer patients. So these things couldn't have occurred without being registered by through the approval process, by the regulatory authorities, and through annexing our work and licensing it to pharmaceutical industry. So we need the pharmaceutical industry, and we're not funding them, but they also are funding our programme. So I am very, very optimistic that once we present to them the details of our collaborative initiatives, this first one and the subsequent two, they will also contribute hard cash. So we're funding this programme to the tune of £500,000. I'm looking for a pharmaceutical partner who is also prepared to finance up to £500,000 themselves to accelerate the programme so we can do even better, faster.
And finally, what does this all mean for people with cancer? Simon Yalton again.
It means that we take the brightest looking stars and the best looking discoveries from our cancer research base. It means that we take those faster to the clinic than we've ever been able to do before. It means that once we identify them, we bolster them with what we feel are additional experts from around the world, so give them the best opportunity they can have of getting to the clinic. And, you know, it's a hard task to get anything to the clinic, so it needs every opportunity it can get.